The focus of this perek is the status of a fetus which is inside of a mother animal, and in particular the unique law that if one slaughters the mother and then finds the child inside the mother, whether the child animal is alive or dead, it is permitted to eat even without performing another slaughtering on the child animal itself. If there's an animal whose fetus died whilst it was still inside of the mother's stomach, the mother's womb, the hoishit horeis yodoi v'nogaboi, and the shepherd, the one looking after the animals, stretched his hand into the inside of the womb of the mother and touched the dead fetus. The Mishnah says, although in general a dead animal is considered to be a nevela, an animal which didn't receive a regular, valid slaughtering, and the law is that such an animal is a source of tumah, a source of impurity, if somebody touches it. Nevertheless, since this dead animal is only a fetus which is situated inside its mother, the Mishnah says, bein b'tumeah b'behemah tumeah, bein b'behemah tahirah, whether it be a non-kosher animal or a kosher animal, tahar, the dead fetus is pure and it would not be a source of tumah for those who touch it. Why is this the case? Seemingly it should be a source of tumah. It's a dead animal which didn't receive a valid slaughtering. And we're talking about a case where the mother has not yet been slaughtered, so there is no slaughtering which has applied to this fetus at all. The answer is, the Gemara explains, there is a kal v'chomer, an all the more so argument. If when one slaughters the mother, the fact that the baby, the fetus, is inside of the mother allows the slaughtering to permit the fetus as well. And the fetus, if it is dead, would not be considered an avela. It would not be a source of impurity because of the mere fact that it's inside of the animal which was slaughtered. All the more so when the mother animal is still alive, and the law is that an alive animal cannot become tome at all. Being alive is something which is more distanced from impurity. So all the more so, the mother should prevent and protect the fetus which is inside of it from impurity when the mother is still alive. Now, it's important to note that this whole kal v'chomer argument is only relevant to a kosher animal. There it's true to say that if you were to slaughter the mother, it would permit the child as well. However, regarding a non-kosher animal, there's no such thing. Slaughtering a non-kosher animal doesn't permit it. And indeed, because of that, Rabbi Yosef Glili says, if the animal under discussion is a non-kosher animal, then the fetus would indeed be a source of impurity. Because this whole argument doesn't start. Only if it's a kosher animal would the fetus be considered pure, and it wouldn't be a source of tumah, impurity. So what is the reason of the first opinion in this Mishnah, the Tanakhama, that even the fetus inside of a non-kosher mother animal would be considered pure? The answer is, he learns this from Pesukim, which seem to compare kosher animals with non-kosher animals, and therefore we learn this particular law to apply it to non-kosher animals as well. It's interesting that the word tahira, pure, can also has another meaning, and that is kosher. In this Mishnah we see that the term is being used in two different ways. In one way it means a kosher animal, and it also refers to it being pure. Continues the Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to contrast this with a fetus of a human being. A dead person, a dead Jewish person, is the highest, greatest source of impurity. And this applies even to a dead fetus. And of course, there's not going to be any argument over here like we had regarding an animal, because there's no such thing as slaughtering the mother in order to permit the child. A woman whose fetus dies whilst inside of her womb, and the midwife stretched out her hand and put it inside of the womb of the mother, v'nogaboy, and touched the dead fetus. Although essentially the fetus should be a source of impurity, and as soon as the fetus comes out of the womb, it would indeed make others tome, those who touch it, or perhaps in have some other contact or close connection with the dead fetus. However, as long as the fetus is still inside of the mother's womb, it is known as tuma blua, which literally means swallowed up. Impurity. This refers to something which is totally surrounded and enveloped in something else. And according to this Mishnah, or at least this part of the Mishnah, Truma Belua cannot transfer impurity to others. However, Midrabbanon, the midwife, would become impure, since we are concerned that she won't realize when the fetus actually starts to exit the mother's womb. And it might end up being a case where she actually did touch the fetus even once it had exited, or part of the baby had exited the mother's womb, but the midwife didn't realize, and she will think that she is still pure. And because of that, Midrabbanon, she would indeed be considered Tomei, but the Ha'isha, the woman herself who is carrying this fetus, Tahora, she would be pure, Achayetze Avolod, until the fetus actually exits her womb properly, and then she touches it, then she would indeed become impure. And the reason for this is because the woman can feel herself as soon as part of the baby comes out of her body, and therefore there's no concern that she won't realize when she actually did touch the baby once it had exited the womb. So the rabbinic decree only applies to the midwife. Mishnah Dalet, just like a nevela, an animal which has died without a proper slaughtering, is a source of impurity, so too a individual limb of a dead animal, the individual limb of an alive animal, called an Eiver Min HaChai. If the animal itself is still alive, but a particular limb has been separated from the alive animal, that particular limb is called an Eiver Min HaChai and is also a source of impurity. And the Mishnah says, being a makasha lili, that an animal which is having difficulty giving birth, the hitzia uberes yodoi, and the fetus put out its hand, and one of the legs of the fetus exited the womb of its mother, vachatocha, and the person who was present cut off that particular limb, they cut off the leg, perhaps in order to ease the mother's birth. Be as it may, that limb which has been separated now has the status of an Eiver Min HaChai, a limb which has been separated from an alive animal. Now, it gets that status as it comes off of the rest of the animal. Now, as it's coming off of the rest of the animal, it also is having contact with the rest of the animal. And so I may have thought that it should transfer the impurity to the rest of the animal as well. The Mishnah says, no, Habosar Tohar. The meat of the rest of the animal remains pure, since at the time that this limb is being separated off of the rest of the animal, the rest of the animal is alive. And even if it's, physically speaking, dead, we look at it as if it is alive, since the slaughtering of the mother would permit the child. So we look at the child, the fetus, as just being an extension of the mother herself. And that being the case, an alive animal can never become impure. And since at the time that the animal had contact with this particular limb, which has the status of an Eiver Min HaChai, which is a source of impurity, the rest of the animal would not have become impure. However, Shochat es Imo, if he first slaughtered the mother, V'achaka Chatocha, and then he cut off this particular limb from the rest of the animal, at the same time as that limb is coming off of this animal, it becomes impure. We're talking about the same case where he cut off this limb which had originally exited the mother's womb. So it was always really a source of impurity, just that in the previous case, it only ever touched the rest of the animal whilst the rest of the animal was alive. But in this case, at the time that the leg is taken off of the rest of the animal, the rest of the animal is fit to become impure because the rest of the animal is already dead. And therefore, in this case, Habosar Magen Vela, the meat of the rest of the animal would have the status of something which has touched a Nevela. It has touched something which has the same impurity status as an animal which has died, although here the status is due to the limb having been considered an Eiver Min HaChai, a limb which was separated from an alive animal. That is the opinion of Rav Meir. However, the Chachomim say, the meat of the rest of the animal has the status of something which has touched a trefa which has been slaughtered. A trefa is an animal which cannot be eaten, but not because the slaughtering was invalid, but rather because of a particular wound which the animal might have. But the slaughtering itself which took place was fully valid, difference being whether the animal is going to be considered a source of impurity. That only applies to a nevela, which didn't receive a valid slaughtering, but not to a trefa. According to the Chachomim, the slaughtering which took place for the mother helps to remove the tumor status, the nevela status, from even from this particular limb, which was considered to be a limb from an alive animal, which has the same level status as a limb from a nevela. Now, what is the reasoning for the Chachomim? So they explain themselves, just like we find regarding a treifa, an animal which has an internal wound, which makes it forbidden to eat, and yet by slaughtering the animal with a valid slaughtering, it purifies it, meaning it does not turn the animal into a nevela. The animal would not be a source of impurity. So too, the slaughtering of the animal should purify the limb which has been separated from the rest of the animal, or which hasn't yet been separated, the limb which exited the womb before the rest of the animal. Since it's still attached to the time of the slaughtering, so the slaughtering should help to permit that part as well. If you're going to try and tell me, no, but that part is definitely forbidden to eat because it exited the womb before the rest of the animal, that's true, but even a treifa is forbidden to eat, and yet we still find that the slaughtering of a treifa causes it not to be a source of impurity. So too over here, although the slaughtering is not going to permit this part of the animal to be eaten, it should nevertheless prevent it from being impure. Amar Rav Meir, Meir said to the Chachamim, Lai, no, that's not a good comparison. If we find that the slaughtering of an animal with an internal wound causes the animal itself to be pure, if it is slaughtered, Dorish HaGufa. That's to the extent that we're talking about the animal itself. It makes sense that the slaughtering is going to purify it and prevent it from becoming impure, but Tatara Sa'iva Dorish Eina Gufa. Can you learn from there that it should also cause the limb, meaning the fetus, to become pure, that is something which is not part of the animal itself? You can't now start this applying this law even to allowing the fetus not to be a source of tumor as a result of the slaughtering of the mother. And in addition, from where do you know that it's even true regarding a regular treifa, an animal which has an internal wound and therefore cannot be eaten, that if one slaughters it, then it would not be considered a nevela, it wouldn't be considered a source of impurity? Logically speaking, I would say the opposite. Behemot tumea asur b'achila, a non-kosher animal is forbidden to eat, and af treifa asur b'achila, so too a treifa is something which is forbidden to eat. So just like we find ma behemot tumea in shtrasim taharta, a non-kosher animal doesn't become pure if it is slaughtered, and it would certainly be a source of impurity once it is dead. So af treifa lo tarein shchitasa, so too a treifa shouldn't be purified once it is slaughtered. Well, why would you make a difference? So regarding this second question, the Chachon answer of Meir, and they say, Lai, no. Don't learn the law of a treifa from the law of a regular non-kosher animal. If you're talking about a regular non-kosher animal, it never had a time where it was permitted to eat, where if it were to be slaughtered, one would be able to eat it, and it also wouldn't be a source of impurity. Can you apply that stringency to a treifa which did once upon a time have a time where it would be permitted to slaughter that animal and eat it? The animal developed a wound in the middle of its life. Beforehand, one would be able to slaughter it, and it would be pure and permitted to eat. So here, I can hear that the law is going to be different, and we're not going to stop that law applying, that the slaughtering of the animal will at least cause it not to be a source of impurity. Even once it becomes a treifa, an animal which can't be eaten due to a wound which it has, the slaughtering should at least stop it being a source of impurity. Now to this argument, Reb Meir replies, Tolach Masher Vesa, take back that which you took, that which you're bringing. According to your own argument, it should emerge that Harishanoldo Trefim Abeten Minayen, regarding a animal which was born as a treifa from when it was born from the womb of its mother, from where do you know that in that case the slaughtering would also permit the fetus from being considered impure? Over there, your argument wouldn't apply. So to this, the Chacham argue, you're right, Loi. No, we have a new argument. If you're talking about a non-kosher animal, which is intrinsically not kosher, So over there, it makes sense that the slaughtering shouldn't permit it at all, shouldn't stop it being impure, because she'ein kein ein b'min ha-shechita. There's no slaughtering which applies to that entire kind. Slaughtering is in order to permit an item to be eaten. A non-kosher animal can never be eaten, so slaughtering is totally irrelevant regarding a non-kosher animal. We don't view it as anything significant at all. Talking about treifa, can you now apply the same understanding to a treifa, which is intrinsically a kosher animal, it just has a particular wound which makes it forbidden to be eaten? The concept of slaughtering does apply to that kind of animal. So even in a case where it happens to be a treifa with a wound and cannot be eaten, and nevertheless the slaughtering is significant and should stop it at least from being a source of impurity. The Mishnah just adds that even according to this logic, it would come out that ben shemeino chai, if there is an alive fetus inside of the mother, which is 8 months old, and the mother gave birth at 8 months, after 8 months of pregnancy, at least the nature was in those days in the times of the Mishnah, that this animal was not expected to survive. If it was born after 7 months or 9 months, then it would, but if it was born after 8 months, then it wouldn't end up surviving. And that being the case, we look at it as if it's sort of its own type of animal. It isn't in the same category as a regular animal which is born, since this animal is going to end up dying. And because of that, in shechitos mitaharitoi, slaughtering the animal would not cause it to be pure, and it also would not be permitted to eat it. Since it's not supposed to survive, it's not looked upon as a kosher animal. And it wouldn't even become purified, since the fisha imbina shechita, there is no slaughtering in that kind of animal, since we're looking at it as its own kind of animal. Essentially, it's like a non-kosher animal, since any animal which is born after 8 months is forbidden to eat, and therefore the slaughtering is not significant whatsoever. Mishnah Hay, although the previous Mishnah taught that it is essentially forbidden to eat a animal which was born after 8 months in its mother's womb, and even a valid slaughtering of the baby animal would not permit it to be eaten. Nevertheless, hashechidus abehema, if somebody slaughters an animal, umotzaboben shemoino chayimes, and he finds inside of the mother animal a fetus which has been there for 8 months, whether it is alive or dead, oiben tishomes, or if it has been there for 9 months and it is dead, koiroi, one is permitted to open up, tear open the fetus, even without slaughtering it at all, umotzias domai, and all you need to do is remove the blood, like you always need to do in order to eat the meat of an animal, and then it will be permitted to eat that animal. And the reason for this is because of the unique law that the slaughtering of the mother permits even the child, because we look at the child as if it's an extension of the mother itself. It's another limb of the mother's body. And it would therefore be permitted. Only in a case where one didn't slaughter the mother, and you need to rely on the slaughtering of the fetus itself, then you would have a problem, and it would be forbidden to eat that 8-month-old baby animal. Now what happens if Motzo ben Tishochai, he finds inside of the mother animal a 9-month-old fetus, which is alive, says the Mishnah. And now we look at this fetus as being separate from the mother. It's ready to come out of the mother's body. It's no longer dependent on the mother, and we therefore look at it as its own entity in itself, and therefore Toron Shechita, it requires its own slaughtering. It's no longer just considered to be an additional limb of the mother's body, which can rely on the mother's slaughtering. As well as that, v'chayev b'osav es b'noi, one would be liable for slaughtering the mother and its child on the same day. The next perek will elaborate in great detail the prohibition of the Torah to slaughter an animal and its child on the same day. Now, that doesn't apply to one of the previous cases which were discussed, where we look at the fetus as being part of the mother. However, for this 9-month-old fetus, which is viewed as its own entity in and of itself, one would be forbidden to slaughter that on the same day as slaughtering the mother. To Rav Meir, all of this is the opinion of Rav Meir. However, Chachomim and Chachom say that even for this type of fetus, which has been there for 9 months and is alive, shechitas imam etahartoi, the slaughtering of its mother would purify it and would permit it to be eaten, since as long as it hasn't been born yet, it is still considered to be like an extension of the mother herself. Now, this having been said, midirabbonon, the Chachomim agree that one does need to slaughter the child. In a case where the child is born and can live a regular life of an animal, in order not to confuse this animal with a different type of animal, which does certainly require a regular slaughtering. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Omer, but Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says, Afilu ben shmoyne shonim v'chayiv asodeh, even if you have an animal which is 8 years old and is plowing in the field, if it came out of a mother who was slaughtered already, then shechitas imim v'taharto, the slaughtering of its mother, would purify it and permit it to be eaten, and he is not concerned that people won't realize and they'll think that it's a regular animal. And so there is no requirement, even with Rabbanon, to slaughter the animal, and you would be able to eat this large 8-year-old animal even without slaughtering it, because you can rely on the slaughtering of the mother. The Mishnah ends off by telling us that all of what we've been discussing applies when one slaughters the mother. But if Kura'ah, somebody tears the mother open without a valid slaughtering, or Motzeba ben Tishochai, and finds a 9-month-old baby inside of the mother, which is still alive, Ton Shechita, it would require slaughtering Lefishal Nishchata Imoy, because its mother was not slaughtered, and there's no other slaughtering which one can base oneself on. Mishnah Vav, Behimashanech Turag Leho, an animal whose legs have been cut, they've been chopped off, Minhar Kuva Ulamata, if this occurred from the Arkuva and downwards, this is referring to the lower bone on the leg of the animal, then Kasheira, the animal would still be considered permitted to be eaten, and this would not be considered a treifa. However, Minhar Kuva Ulamala, if it was chopped off from the Arkuva and upwards on the leg, that is a more significant part of the animal, such that it would render the whole animal as a treifa and pasula. It would be invalid and forbidden to be eaten. And the same applies if the Tzomis HaGidin has been taken away. This refers to, literally, the Tzomis HaGidin is the juncture around the knee area of the animal's leg, where sinews join together. Be as it may, if this part of the animal is taken away, then it would also make the animal into a treifa. Next example, Nishbar Ha'etzem, if a bone has been broken, this is referring to a fracture of the bone of the animal in a case where it wouldn't make it into a treifa. So for example, if the lower bone on the leg was fractured, Im Roiv HaBosar Kayam, as long as the majority of the flesh around that bone is still in existence, and it hasn't been destroyed and damaged to a significant extent by the fracture, then we still view this bone as being a part of the whole animal structure, and shechitas mitaharta, the slaughtering of the mother, would permit even this bone and this area of the animal to be eaten. But if not, then we view this part of the animal as now not being part of the main structure of the animal, and as such, in shechitas mitaharta, the slaughtering of the actual animal would not permit that part of the animal to be eaten, even though the rest of the animal can indeed be eaten.